Welcome back. The short hiatus has ended. Pull up the power poles, because right now we are super stoked to bring to you here live from day one of the Forestwood Cup, the legend. My idol. He's my idol. This is Jimmy Houston, ladies and gentlemen. He's live here on Straightcast Outdoor Cartoon Television. Yeah. Woo. Let's see.
I don't know what that means, even. The hiatus has ended. I love it.
We make up words here on Outdoor Cartoon Television.
Hey, I'm into making up words.
That's what we do. Up at Renwick, this is Ryan Popcorn Whitaker. JP High is here, and so is Andrew Ellenberger and Jimmy Houston. Jimmy, this is a big deal going on right now, man, this Forestwood Cup, dude.
You know, it's really a big deal. You know, we got a big crowd out here today in Columbia. The fish are biting out on Lake Murray. The guys are catching some really good fish out there. You know, the last couple of times that FLW's been to Murray, I think it took about 13 pounds a day average to win. Yep. And it may end up taking 13 pounds a day average to win here, but there's a lot of people out there have beaten that already today. And
right.
I think there's at least one or two 20-pound stringers, 18, 17, 16, so pretty good tournament.
I think all those guys were sandbagging me last night at the red carpet event when we did the show from there.
We were asking them to sandbag us.
Yeah. You haven't learned that by now. It is amazing how difficult it is in practice. The guys crying and moaning and carrying on, getting one or two bites a day, complaining about the water level, the water temperature, the weather,
the color of the water, everything
in the world.
Weeds don't look
right. And yet
they
go out there and smack them, you know, these fishermen are so good nowadays that they're going to smack them. You just do not pay any attention to what they tell you. No, I talked to two or three of them that actually told me the truth, and they did. They were catching really good fish, and they knew that some of the others that were. So I knew it was going to be a little bit better tournament than we'd had here in the past. The tournament's tomorrow and Sunday also. I think they cut back to the top 10 on Sunday, but it's going to get tougher, perhaps, as the time goes on. You know, they had good cloud cover out there, perfect conditions today. Actually, might be even better conditions tomorrow. So, I expect it's going to be exciting.
It's setting up nice, they call this the Jewel of the Carolinas. That is an appropriate name.
I love that. That's good.
Yeah.
You know, I've had some really good tournaments on Lake Murray. I finished third in a big Megabucks tournament here years ago and won $30,000.
Yeah.
Got beat by about a pound. So this lake is very good. When it had a lot of grass, it was probably a better fishery than it is now. But there's some of the grass coming back in areas, and it's a tremendous lake to fish. It's a lot of fun.
It seems like a lot of these guys are catching fish. The little footage I saw, it seems like they're catching them schooling. That's going to be a deal where they might not come up again, right?
Well, you got to be in the right place at the right time. That's definitely a situation of being in the right spot when it happens, and that's exactly what happened out there early this morning. A couple 5-pounders, or 3-pounders off schooling fish, and there are certain areas at their schools, and the guys that know where those areas are going to be in those areas. But yeah, you're right. A guy that catches a really big string today might have a hard time even catching five fish tomorrow. You can do it in a hurry, and one of the things that's causing that schooling activity to happen is the lack of grass. You know, obviously the lake's still got a lot of fish in it,
sure,
a lot of big fish, and if those fish get to running around in big wolf packs out there, and if you're there when they are and they show you where they are, they're pretty easy to catch.
Right. And now that's something, too, where, I mean, the electronics are going to play a big factor. But it seems like, you know, it's not as easy to catch them unless they're on top, unless you can actually see them. Now, is there a way you can get them going?
Hey,
them on the electronics?
Hey, the electronic that God gave you right here.
Right.
That's
the one.
He gave you two of them, one on each side of your nose.
That's
the electronics that work out there where they're schooling. And you know, and ironically, you know, you mentioned that, you know, being in the area and being able to see fish breaking and hear fish breaking at a little bit of a distance is really, really critical. Watching for the birds is really critical. So, you know, it's kind of an old-fashioned fishing that we used to catch fish back way before we had all these fancy electronics.
You've got to be aware of the senses.
You know, we do have a tool nowadays called a hydrowave.
Yeah.
That we all use. It's on everybody's boat, and a lot of the fishermen, we sometimes have a doubt about whether it works really well or not. However, we all have them. We all use them. And the times that you doubt it is the times when you got that HydroWave running and you've gone 4 hours without a bite.
And I've seen it happen. I mean, you turn that HydroWave on, it'll actually bring shad up to your trolling motor. You've seen that, right?
No doubt about it. And where we've really noticed it the most happening, and it could be a critical factor in some of these schooling fishes, where we've noticed it a lot is back when we were allowed to use an umbrella rig or an Alabama rig, we'd be out on these points early in the year where these fish had schooled up for the wintertime, and then they'd move to the points before they move in to spawn. And we could see these fish in treetops, sometimes a lake like, say, Table Rock, where you're fishing maybe 80, 90, or 100 foot of water, but you're fishing trees that come up 50, 60, 70 foot off the bottom, and the fish are around the top of these trees, still maybe 20 or 25 or 30 foot deep. And you can see these fish on your locator. You can see the schools of shad around, and you know they're there, but they're not very active. You're not getting bites. Sometimes turning that HydroWave on, turning it off, turn it back on, you know, varying the sounds would cause the shad to begin to get a little active, cause them to move a little closer to surface, start to flit around a little bit, and cause those bass to get more active. So
wow.
The HydroWave is one piece of electronics. It might be pretty valuable right here.
And yeah. You know it works. We had Gene Eisenman on, the creator of the HydroWave, right before
Gene's
you,
Gene's a very good friend,
And the fact of the matter is, and you kind of touched on it right there, Jimmy, whether you want to say it works or you want to say it's just a fad, every fishing professional has one on there. Every one of them.
Every one. I've got my new Ranger 521L. We are just working on the order this week, as a matter of fact, because it takes a while to get a Ranger boat built, you know, and we have a list that we put all the equipment that we have sent to Ranger, our power pole blades, our Mercury motor, our Raymarine electronics, and about the third or fourth line down, we got a HydroWave down there. Right. So I've got that on my list.
And Gene actually broke it to us, Jimmy, that he has a new sound that he's working on for the HydroWave. It's called the Jimmy Houston Laugh.
That might scare them to death. That might scare them to death. They may jump in the boat. They may jump in the boat. We got to have that.
If I was a bass and I heard that, I'd be running.
I guarantee you. I promise you.
Jimmy,
I've given a lot of bass some sugar, and I gotta tell you, I'm a pretty good kisser. I mean, I have references. I'm a pretty good kisser, and there might be some of those 5 or 6 pounders that got them a little sugar when they were 2 or 3 pounds, or maybe when they were 2 pounds and 3 pounds. They hear that laugh. They're going to come looking.
They do.
And popcorn, they're going to come looking.
They tell their grandkids about the time Jimmy Houston kissed them.
Oh, get them all gathered around, you know, gathered around them. Tell them, listen, you're not going to believe this. Got me right here. Yeah, 2 years later, got me right here. Yeah, he loved me a lot more when I was bigger.
How long you been doing this, man? I mean, I lost track. Did you?
You know, we've been doing the television show 40 years. 2017 with our 40th year on national television. Beginning January, will be year number 41. This year was our 51st year fishing national tournaments. I fished my first national tournament back before there was a BASS, before there was an FLW in 1966 when I was a senior in college there in Oklahoma.
When you had, like, awesome bell bottoms and stuff.
You know, I did.
Yeah, those were amazing.
You know, I did.
Yeah, it was amazing, dude.
The Sports Illustrated's got a picture of those. They had a picture of those in Sports Illustrated, and, yeah, it's pretty wild. I may bring them back.
You and Ricky Green had the bell bottoms going.
Start year number 52. I may bring them back next year.
That would be
a deal. Fishing needs a new fashion trend.
I had stars and stripes down the side of it.
Yes, I remember them well, man.
That was cool.
That was some good stuff.
When you're naturally cool, the sun shines on you all the time.
You know, I'm thinking about working on a new show for you. Okay, are you ready to? I'm an idea man. You know that about me.
That's
feed the barbecue sauce right to the cow
and
the tuna to the mayonnaise to the tuna fish.
That's it.
So it's called Fireside Stories with Jimmy Houston.
Fireside Stories.
Fireside
like
Stories with
like
Jimmy
it.
Houston.
We do it in the wintertime when the fish aren't biting.
Yeah,
very well.
Exactly. And
I like that.
What I think the opening story that I would like to do with you, Jimmy, is the story that I remember from one of your books. Okay. And it's about the squirrel. Okay, so let's do episode one of Jimmy Houston's Fireside Story, and look right in that camera.
Well,
and,
it was a neat thing. I'd never seen anything like it before, you know. And I was fishing. I was actually fishing down there in southern Oklahoma, and I was going down the bank, and I looked up and I saw a squirrel run out on a little log. And I was kind of, you know, I mean, I'm a wildlife guy. I love to hunt as well as fish. And I was kind of watching that squirrel. He ran out there, and I looked, and there was an acorn laying out on the end of that log. I guess it had fallen off a tree and evidently hit and bounced and perfectly landed on the end of that log. And that squirrel went out there, and he picked that acorn up. And just as he turned around to run back, a big bass jumped over that log and ate the squirrel. And, I mean, it took my breath away. And, I mean, I'm throwing my spinnerbait over there, making cast after cast after cast, trying to catch that big bass. I mean, actually, he probably weighs a pound or two more because he just ate a big fox squirrel. And you know, and I couldn't get that fish to bite. I guess he had that squirrel in his mouth, and I couldn't get him to bite. And so I fished out there, and I fished all around that log, and I pitched a few jigs in there and throw a worm in there, crank a crankbait by bumping that crankbait into the log, and I could not get that fish to bite. I was thinking, man, I need an acorn-colored bait, but I couldn't get him to bite. And so I you know, just went on patrolling motor on down the bank, and I got about 40 or 50 yards, and I heard this big blow-up, and I looked back there, and it was just, this bass had come up, and he was right on the surface, and he laid another acorn right up on the end of that log. And I thought, wow. They're smarter than I thought they were. No wonder I can't catch them.
Jimmy Houston, Fireside Stories, right here. You heard it first. It premiered. They love it. The crowd's going nuts, Jimmy. They absolutely love it, man. No, seriously, one of my favorite stories, man. And again,
it's mostly true.
It's mostly true. It's a true story that you just made up a long time ago. That's what it is. That's the deal. But you've been referred to as America's favorite fisherman. I mean, it's true, man. I mean, you're an idol to so many of us fishermen, and it seems so weird. We were talking with Luke Duncan a little earlier, and how surreal it is for guys like us, you know, to be able to sit down and just and talk with guys like you and Larry Nixon and just the legends.
Larry's doing well in tournament today.
You know?
They call Larry the general, and last I saw, he was in third or fourth place. And actually, you know, it's kind of funny because Larry, of course, is you know, he's got a lot of gray in his face now too. But but you know, I actually drew Larry in his very first tournament he fished. We was on Lake Gaston in Alabama, which is right next to Bug Island or Kerr Reservoir. In Virginia, Lake Gaston, and I drew Larry. I believe it was either the first or second day of the tournament. I believe it was the first day, and we fished together that day and had a great time. Both of us caught a pretty good string of fish, and I remember coming in that evening, and my wife Chris, who, you know, fished Bass and Gal for those 21 years and won about 25 boats, and
right,
and But she told me, she said, how was that boy to fish with today? And I said, he was a lot of fun to fish with. And she said, is he pretty good? And I told her, I said, let me tell you. I said, I told him out there today, I said, if you'll learn how to cast, I said, you're going to be one of the best fishermen ever. I said, that boy's going to do really, really good. And there's been a lot of things I've not been right about in my life, a lot of things I've been 100% wrong, but I sure right about Larry Nixon. Yeah. I was sure right about Larry. And I did tell him that. He tells that story that's what Jimmy told me, and he told me, so I still never have learned to cast very well, but I could still catch him. But he's learned to cast very well, I'm telling you.
And speaking of casting, I'm going back in the songbook here, man, but I remember the first time, and I know you don't remember this, but I was a little kid, and we met at a sports show.
I remember.
You remember it well, like it was yesterday. Yeah, and you actually had me stand still, and you wrapped a spinnerbait around my ear. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I have to do that with kids because adults are smart enough not to do that. I have to do that with kids.
I was like, what is he doing? And my mom's looking like, what is this guy doing here? And but you nailed it, dude.
Yeah. I usually get that right about one out of every 10 times. So you just happen to be the one.
Jimmy's like, here, wear this safety helmet, Pat. You'll be fine.
You have to be the one.
You'll be fine.
You'll be the one.
But talk about, I mean, an amazing caster and how important casting is in bass fishing, dude. I mean, you are practiced at the art. You're the original.
It's an important part of the game. There's no doubt about it. And the fishermen nowadays, you know, it was something that back in a lot of the earlier days of fishermen, a lot of the guys were not quite as skilled as they really should be. But the guys nowadays are just absolutely amazing. The fishermen that we have nowadays, the younger guys coming up, they learn so quickly and they learn the correct things that they should do. and they have a lot more opportunity to learn. And but yeah, casting accuracy is still an extremely important part of the game, and always will be. Always 100%. Will be.
Hey, kids, it's like they come out of the womb skipping boat docks.
Yeah, you're right.
These high school kids just pitching jigs under boat docks effortlessly. Oh, yeah.
It's YouTube. They watch it on YouTube as soon as they're born.
These kids are so. I mean, they're so good and. And their eyes flash now. They don't even need to use running lights on their boat. That's how bright they are, man. I'm telling you. And it's cool though. It's great. I love it. And the amazing thing is that you can continue to play. We mentioned Larry Nixon. You know, Larry's one of the senior guys out there playing extremely well. I'm the oldest guy fishing out there, with the exception of my buddy Gary Yamamoto, who is just a tad older than me.
Okay.
But I think I'm the oldest one to ever qualify for the FLW Championship. Fished my last Bassmaster Classic at a pretty advanced age. but that's the great thing about this sport is you can continue to play. I have a lot of friends that have played all kinds of major league sports, baseball and NBA and NFL and even NASCAR drivers and stuff. And as they begin to get a little bit older, they cannot play in with the game with the younger guys. They have to quit playing.
Right.
We can continue to play it in bass fishing. You know, I still fish the FLW tournaments. Gary Yamamoto, as I said, is a little bit older than me, and he still fishes the FLW tournaments. Roland Martin, who is
Roland Morgan.
Roland Morgan. Roland Morgan's what Bill calls him.
Yes.
Roland Morgan, 77 years old, be 78 next spring, and he still fishes in tournaments and does really, really well. As a matter of fact, year before last, Roland and his partner fished in the redfish tournaments down there. You know, the tournaments where they have to throw all the fish back because they get
all the
slot.
Big ones back.
And they the whole show is stuck on the mud. Those redfish tournaments, that's what the redfish tournaments are. And Roland Martin and his partner won the Rookie of the Year. Roland was 74 at the time, and his partner was 81. And they won Rookie of the Year.
Wow.
So think about that for a minute. And it's fantastic to be able to do it. And there's no doubt, I can't compete as well as I could at a younger age and don't catch them nearly as well. But when I do make the money in a tournament, it feels really, really good. And the young guys really, they like to see me do good. They appreciate it when I do. And it's the same way with Gary Yamamoto. I think the last tournament of the year, he had a really good tournament, maybe the tournament right before that. And everybody was so tickled that he did well. And you look at Ricky Klun. Ricky Klun is just a little bit, he's the same age as my wife. He's a little bit younger than me. He won a tournament last year
in Florida.
He's missed the class. He made like, I don't know, 100 classics or something, but or 50 or I don't know how many.
5,000.
He's made a lot of classics, but he's not made it much lately. But the age is a big factor, although Ricky and I argue about that. He says it's not. He said age has got nothing to do with it, but it does. He's a great, great fisherman. But the cool thing is he still fishes at the top level. In bass, just like I still fish at the top level in FLW, even though we're older than most anybody. In fact, you almost add two of them together, and we got that age. So that's what's so good about it. You can't do that in the PGA.
Do you feel worn out?
You can't
out?
Do that in the NFL.
Do you
can't
feel
do
worn
that
out after a day sometimes on the water? Can you feel it in your bones now that you're older?
I do. You know, and you have a lot of more aches and pains you used to have, but it's always been that way.
Sure.
You know, I've always, when I was 30, when I was 25, when I was 22 fishing tournaments, at the end of the day, I was completely spent, and, I hurt, and I was, I fished daylight till dark in practice, and I've always felt that way. It's a little bit more difficult getting up and down. Your peripheral vision is not as good. Your reflexes are not quite as good. Your balance is not as good. I have incredible eyes still. I've got 20/20 vision in one, 20/15 in the other.
Wow.
Though I paid for those high-dollar eyes. They're high-dollar eyes.
they're from $6 million man eyes.
They are. What God gave me is not quite that good now. But I've purchased, when this hair falls out, I'm going to purchase some really pretty hair, too. I've had this ugly hair all my life. I'm going to buy some really good-looking stuff.
Do you dye your hair now, Jimmy?
No,
or is that natural?
No, but when I buy hair, I'm going to get some of that. I'm going to get some of that. I'm going to get some that's like blue and maybe red and orange and maybe,
Jimmy's
you know,
going punk rock.
Maybe have
a little punk look to it. The only thing I worry about if I got some of that red and blue hair, I might run into one of those old hippies that made love to a parrot. Might think I'm his son. I don't know. It's kind of bothering me.
Life troubles.
I mean, I tell you. But I'm going to buy some of that pretty hair. I get you know, like curly, wavy.
There you go.
Nice
yeah.
curls.
I'll lend
on.
You some of this if you need
yeah.
some.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought you had one of those extensions. I saw that. I thought he's bought him one of those extensions. Extensions are good.
They sell them aisle six.
I might. He knows where they buy the extensions. I've been doing some appearances lately with at some places and where there's been some black girls there, and the black girls all had these big head of hair.
Yeah.
And the first thing I always ask them, I say, "Is that yours? Or what? Is that extensions?" And they always tell me, "It's mine, honey. I bought and paid for it."
There it is.
And so they're wearing those extensions, and they braid them all up. They get, you know, and I'm thinking about extensions. And I ask them, I said, "Do they have those? Because they always wear them like in red and blue and black and all these." I said, "They got any of those in blonde?" And they said, "Not where we buy these, but."
They got everything in Hollywood.
Surely they got them.
All you got to do is go to Hollywood.
I imagine Hollywood's got blonde extensions.
Yeah, I'm sure they got that.
I need some.
They definitely have that there. Whoa.
Is that God tuned in?
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, you're getting out of line, I think.
I hear that.
Jimmy, as far as that.
I put my tithe in the plate, God. I just. Oh, you know.
Okay. He knows. He knew.
He
knows everything.
He already knew about that.
Yeah,
I didn't know
did.
That. He knew. He already knew.
Jimmy, as far as being worn out after the tournament, if you don't feel like that, you didn't do it right. I mean, that's
well, you're exactly right, Popcorn. If you're not just completely spent after a tournament, you haven't given it everything. If you're not that way after your practice, but one thing that I'm not sure of, you know, we practice, and my wife, you know, and she still practices with me daylight till dark, no matter the weather, rain, shine, cold, it doesn't matter. We practice daylight till dark every day, the 3 days of practice. And if I get there, sometimes I have to work and don't get there all 3 days, but we try to get all three of them in. But we have now an off day in the tournaments in FLW where we practice Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. We're off on Wednesday. I'm not really sure after 3 days of practice if we didn't have that off day, I could make it happen. Because
it's a recharge.
The recharge day is a big deal.
Yeah.
And we do a lot of work. It's not an off day for us. We do shows and we do, you know, appearances like at Walmart or O'Reilly's or Tractor Supply or something for Shell Rotella and for Quaker State. And of course, you got to wind on new line, get all your logs and reels and tackle ready for the competition. But without that off day, it would be pretty difficult to play the game at over 70 years old. It really would, Popcorn. You're right.
What's new in Jimmy Houston's life right now?
Well, you know, we're doing the same thing we always do. I was talking to a guy on a radio show the other day, and he said, you know, it's amazing. You're doing the same thing on television you did 30, 40 years ago, and yet we still want to watch every week. And I said, well, that's really true. We are doing exactly the same thing. And what makes the television show successful and popular is it's reality television. It was a reality show before there ever was such a term as reality television, because that's what the outdoor television is. We're letting the fish and the day fishing make that show, just like it does when we just go fishing.
Yeah,
if you and I go fishing, that's a reality day, and we don't know what's going to happen. We know what we want to happen, but the day is going to make itself, and I think that's it. But, you know, the biggest thing that we've got going, of course, we show on a lot of different networks. I think our show airs about 20 times a week, 21 or 22 times, and we're on NBC Sports, CBS Sports, Destination America, the American Heroes Network, which is the old military channel. We have made a deal just the other day to run on the Pursuit Network. Next year,
awesome.
Hank Parker and I are going to run side by side, I think, on a Thursday night, plus a couple, two or three other times during the week. It looks like we are probably also going to be on the Discovery Channel next year.
Wow.
That's great.
We're negotiating with them right now.
With the same format?
Yeah, it'll be it'll still be Jimmy Houston Outdoors.
That is awesome.
Exactly the same thing on Discovery Network, and or they call it the Discovery Channel.
So it's going to be you on Shark Week versus Sharks on Discovery Network?
No, yeah,
is that what you're telling me?
We'll be catching them on a rod and reel. We will not be swimming with them. And I won't be out there with Kevin Harrington in the shark tank. You know, I won't be doing that, buying business. I know Kevin's a good friend of mine. We won't be doing that.
Okay.
But and then also, you know, one of the big things, you know, now we can watch so much stuff digitally, and we have our own digital television network called JHL.TV, stands for Jimmy Houston Legends.
Yep.
You can pull that up and watch it on your iPhone.
We actually have a few episodes of ours
absolutely,
on there.
Absolutely. You certainly do. And we got Roland Martin on there. We got Drew Gregory.
It's Roland Morgan. You keep saying his name wrong.
Roland Morgan. Okay. And we will eventually have hundreds and hundreds of our shows, as well as many, many other shows that go back into the years past. I have noticed recently that ESPN Classic is beginning to air something. We were on ESPN for 20 years, one of the longest-running shows ever on ESPN.
Yeah.
And they, ESPN Classic is starting running some old Jimmy Houston outdoor shows. So you could actually pick some of that up on ESPN Classic as well as JHL.TV. Our YouTube channel, we put stuff up virtually every day on our YouTube channel. So, you know, that's a cool thing. You can watch a lot of stuff, new stuff as well
as old
stuff.
It's history there.
That's cool.
Speaking of old stuff, one of my favorite old Jimmy Houston episodes, and correct me here, I might be off a little bit, but it was either in Mexico or Cuba. And
we've been both places.
I think it was the Cuba show.
Many times.
Man, just wrecking them on the old famous copper blade, blue and chartreuse, Jimmy Houston signature spinnerbait. 5.5-foot pistol grip rod.
Yeah. We moved to a little bit longer rods nowadays, but yeah, we're still using that blue and chartreuse, blue, white, and chartreuse spinnerbait. I just actually developed some new round-bladed spinnerbaits for the Jimmy Houston Legend baits at Lucky Strikes building.
You got copper ones?
And we do not have copper.
Why does nobody have copper, Jimmy?
You know, I think that one of the deals is that copper doesn't sell nearly as well as gold and nickel, and it's just a matter. Nowadays, you know, everything's done on numbers and computers, and I change and put copper blades on them and use them in tournaments all the time.
I learned that from you, you know.
You get certain color waters, they'll bite the copper way better than they will everything else, and I'm kind of glad everybody doesn't have them, to be honest.
Should we not talk about that a little bit?
No, that's fine. You know, but you have to buy copper blades to put on, and we do that. We do that a lot. We sure do.
Awesome. And so you're JHL TV, Jimmy Houston on Facebook, of course. Jimmy Houston Outdoors. Everywhere they can find you.
We're on a lot of places. Beautiful thing about what's going on now in the world of television and the digital situations we have is that a person can watch and learn a lot about fishing. I was talking to you mentioned the deal in Cuba. I was talking to somebody earlier, and he's telling me he's going to Lake Picachos in Mexico.
Okay.
And going down there fishing at Rod Spean Jr.'s camp, and I've been there a lot. I actually caught a 12-pound, 7-ounce bass down there a couple of years ago. I weighed that fish, but I normally just turn them back and kind of guess the weight. But my biggest I've ever caught, 13-1.
Wow.
And I thought that fish was close, and he was, but he didn't quite make it. But if it was bigger, I wanted to know that.
Yeah, sure.
And so we weighed that fish before we released it, but the guy asked me, he said, I need to know a little bit more about Picachos and what kind of lures I should take. And I told him, you know, you can actually go on JHL.TV, and we have some of those Picachos shows up there, and you can watch them. And yeah, you can actually see the lake, see the places we were fishing.
It's awesome.
Learn a little bit about the techniques. And that's a pretty big advantage. A guy can get ready to go fish a tournament somewhere, like on Lake Sam Rayburn or Lake Table Rock we mentioned, any of the lakes that we've had tournaments on or any of the lakes that we've done television shows on, and learn a little bit and learn about it. And let me tell you, these young guys do that. It's amazing to me. I was talking to one of the fishermen in the FLW tournament is actually on Lake Hartwell. It was the first time I'd ever been on Hartwell, and I was up in this creek, and it was Dave Lefevers who it was.
Okay.
You know, he's a great tournament fisherman.
Sure.
And Dave was talking to me, and he started telling me about a couple things, and he told me, well, so-and-so won this tournament.
I heard your message on his answering machine.
Yeah. he pays me a quarter every time it's played. I got a little royalty on that deal. Yeah, he owes me $32,000.
Is that right?
I haven't got a check from him yet, but I'm still signing.
You hear that, Dave?
Yeah, the money is probably coming in the mail at any moment. I've been watching, hoping he'll win a big tournament.
Yeah, right. Then
I'm going to go collect. But Dave was telling me about it. He said, you know, so-and-so won the bass tournament back here and such, and so-and-so won a classic back in this creek. And I told him, I said, Dave, God, dogs, I can't believe you're such a tournament historian. I can't believe you know that.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I looked it up. I looked up all the tournaments that was held here, and he knew where all the fish had been caught in tournaments there.
Wow.
And that's a little bit why Dave Lefevers is good, as he really is.
R&D. Yeah.
And that's why a lot of these guys are. They do a lot of research on it, and we've now got to the point where professional fishermen are just that, and they go fishing every day. Jason Christie, my buddy there at home, homeboy, that I've known him ever since he was born.
Christie's awesome.
I've known him ever since he was born. I fished with his dad and his uncle and fished tournaments against him, and he lives a quarter mile away from my store and my boat dealership. We've helped him in tournaments forever. I actually got him his first sponsorship deal with FLW with Mountain
Wow.
Dew.
Awesome.
I wanted to talk them into getting that for him when he was fishing FLW. But Jason, when he's home there on Lake Tenkiller, he fishes every day. fishes every day.
Sure.
Or
he hunts during deer season.
He'll go hunting and still go fishing. but the professional tournament fishermen, they do that just like in the off season. In the off season, Kobe Bryant was shooting 500 jumpers every day during the off season.
So
that's the professional fishermen are doing that nowadays. Plus, they're studying what goes on at every single lake, and the rules are kind of getting around to where the practice period almost is going to be got down for BASS. It has
right
where
yeah.
they can't go fish those lakes except that official practice
and no info at all.
And I haven't looked at the rules for FLW next year. I don't know if we have that rule or not, but I like it. I wish we did.
It's pure.
Because I don't.
It is
I,
pure,
know,
Jimmy.
It really seems like most of the guys like it.
Chris and I, they do. I think the FLW fishermen want that rule. I'd vote for it in a heartbeat. But I know when Chris and I, we show up, we get there Saturday night, usually really late. We're out there early Sunday morning, daylight, and we fish till dark. And we've got our GPS, we've got maps. We have no information. And we've done it that way forever. And it would probably help to get information, but we're doing it the old-fashioned way. And
that's the way it should
sometimes
be.
That hurts, but when you catch them, it really makes you feel good.
Oh, yeah. It's satisfying. Yeah. Hey, we're just about out of time, but let's say, before you go, Jimmy, will you do me a huge favor?
More than likely.
Oh, okay. Let's sing a little song together. You ready?
Sometimes I wonder when he starts asking for favors.
Yeah. Jimmy, come on. Let's sing the Jimmy Houston theme song together this time. When you come on the show, you usually sing it by yourself, but let's sing it together. Make my dreams come true, Jimmy.
Let's go.
You ready? Ready?
Rising with the morning sun. Got no work today. Might find me up on the bayou.
You don't even know the words to your
out
song.
Out in the ocean bay.
Might be fishing on a mountain stream. Or lake down in Tennessee. Why don't you grab your fishing pole and come along with Jimmy Houston and me and Ryan and Andy.
You know my buddy, Eddie Reisner wrote that song. Plays piano for Three Dog Night.
Woo! Yeah! That's Jimmy Houston. It's a bass fishing rock star right
there.
That's
a Three Dog Night song.
That was amazing.
Yeah,
Jimmy,
Three Dog Night.
Thank you so much. You're awesome. We appreciate the support that you throw to the show all the time,
it.
Dude.
I appreciate it.
Excellent.
Yeah, my buddy Eddie's played for him for a long time. I think he's not playing with him anymore. I got a note from him the other day. And, Corey Wells is the lead singer for Three Dog Night for years.
Yeah.
And he died about a year ago.
That's
and
the
half
Jeremiah ago. Was a Bullfrog
Jeremiah
guy.
Jeremiah was a Bullfrog.
And that's the deal there.
Them guys are.
That is awesome.
They were rock stars when I was a kid.
Thank you so much.
They still going.
Come here.
I appreciate it,
buddy. You're the best, dude.
Hey, you're doing a good job.
Thank you so
you're doing
much.
A good job,
sir. Thank you.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, are we still live?
Y'all
this is amazing right now.
Yeah,
all right.
Appreciate it.
There it is. Jimmy Houston. I mean, he's a showstopper. It's a room-stopping showstopper. Who's this crawling in here now? It's Jumpin' Joe Flash from FLW.
Yeah.
Joe Opager here.
What's going on?
Grab these headphones.
How you doing, buddy?
Get comfy.
Tough to follow that act.
Oh, yeah, that's Jimmy Houston.
Come on, you guys were singing up here. You had a crowd.
I mean, yeah, that was amazing.
That was awesome.
That was bass fishing history, Joe.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Speaking of bass fishing history, this is bass fishing history.
Some, yes.
Right here. Yeah. 2017
right
Forest
now.
Wood
Absolutely.
Cup.
Absolutely. In the debut of the Stray Cast at the Forest Wood
Dude,
Cup.
Dude, thank you so much for this, by the way.
Yeah. Thrilled you guys
Why did
are
you
here.
Even invite us here?
Thrilled you guys are here. Well, I'm a big fan of the show,
well, thank
it or not.
You.
Yes,
thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love what you guys do and wanted you guys to come out and be a part of it. So was
yeah,
thrilled
thank you
when
again.
You guys accepted the invitation. Now here we are. Here,
we're super
you've
stoked.
Got Jimmy Houston on the show.
Jimmy Houston. I mean, it's a dream come true.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Jimmy's going to get extensions, so his hair is like mine next.
He made it about 5 yards, and now he's swamped for autographs.
That's Jimmy.
Standard Jimmy Houston, yeah.
That's no matter where Jimmy goes, everybody finds him.
Yep.
That's what happens. But, dude, you are working your butt off.
Yeah, busy week for us.
Yeah, dude. I mean, this is the deal right now. And you build up to this all season.
Yep.
And what a show you're putting on, Joe.
Thanks, yeah. Yeah, it's the culmination of our season. So
tell them
the granddaddy of them all.
Tell America Right. Tell Venezuela is watching also, okay. And also Istanbul is watching.
Hi, Auntie.
Yeah. So, tell everybody what you do for FLW.
My job is to generate media coverage for our guys. So
wow.
It's to get guys like you coming out. We've got radio stations, TV stations, newspapers. My job is to help them and make their lives easier. I'll line up interviews. I'll send out news releases, get the word out that we're in town. And, yeah, get a big crowd. That's my goal.
There it is. And you sure made it easy for us.
Good, yeah. Good. I mean, that means I'm doing okay.
No, and we are the coolest people here, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
We want that in writing, too.
Yep. It needs to be confirmed.
Yes. Yeah. The red carpet event last night was outstanding.
Yeah,
I mean, we couldn't stop talking about it.
Good,
Our phone was blowing up, and every. I mean, it was like, wow.
Yeah, what was your favorite part?
Yeah, what was your favorite part? You liked when Watson and Dudley were together talking.
It was interesting.
You looked nervous as hell. You did.
Guy's nightmare.
Sweating.
Come on.
Yeah.
No, I thought the whole show was awesome. I think, Andy Morgan was good on there. The introduction to Terry Bolton. You know, he was on with Thrift, and I don't know if you guys were real familiar with Terry, but he's been an FLW stalwart.
Absolutely. We sure are familiar with him, and we're glad he decided to sit in there.
You had a lot of big names on last night.
Yeah,
a lot
and
of
shout
fun.
Out when, to Dale Bowman there. He just said stalwart.
He did say stalwart.
He did.
And you can get shots for stalwarts. It gets rid of it, too. You know that, right?
We used to have a segment called stalwart.
So is this the perfect storm, Joe? Is this how you everybody creatively visualizes things, right?
Sure.
So is this what you creatively visualized as an event?
So far, so good. I mean, we started off this morning, a takeoff. We had a huge crowd out. It was better than we envisioned. So
better than
that was awesome.
Jimmy's up to something.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. What's Jimmy up to?
Don't you think he looks like Rice Priebus?
My language is much cleaner.
He got the boots. That is awesome.
No, we kicked
that dude's amazing.
Kicked everything off this morning. Huge crowds. Fishing's been great. I hear Anthony Gagliardi's got around 20 pounds.
Does he really?
So does Justin
Atkins. See, we're clueless to the world right now, what's going on.
I haven't been able to watch the live feed. It's been going all day, but I haven't been able to watch. But I've been catching rumors. And, there's going to be a couple 20-pound stringers, which doesn't happen in August. So
dude, it's going to be a heck of a weigh-in.
We'll see how the weigh-in goes. Hopefully everybody sticks around. And
tell
comes
us about
over.
That weigh-in.
Sure.
Like, tell people that are out here watching in the area or if they still want to get a quick flight.
Absolutely.
And come in. What's the deal? Where's
it at? Absolutely. Colonial Life Arena here in Columbia, South Carolina. Doors open at 4 and the show starts at 5. So come on down to see us. If you can't make it, we'll of course be live streaming everything at FLWFishing.com. But if you're in the area, anywhere close, come on down. We're giving away a Ranger boat on Sunday night. All you got to do is sign up and be here.
Jimmy said I won it.
Yeah? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, we were giving away a Ranger boat on Sunday.
It's already taken.
Spoken for.
Yeah.
He was actually talking
We got
to
some
me.
Cool kayaks.
Oh, no, he was looking at me.
Too,
no. So. Oh, he had glasses on. I couldn't tell.
Joe, you were talking about something really cool about the takeoff this morning.
Yes.
You said you have a screen that's actually broadcasting the live footage immediately after they take off.
First time we ever did it. The live show is broadcasting from the start. So, everybody took off this morning and kind of turned around and started watching the live screen.
That's
Anthony
so cool.
ran to his first spot, and then two or three casts, he had a 4-pounder. And the
crowd
was wild.
Perfect.
Yeah, it was
perfect
awesome.
Storm.
It was really cool to see. You know, the local crowd was like, woo, everybody's cheering. And I'm like, we're on to something here.
That's
this
what watching,
a live spectator sport. Absolutely. Yeah. It was something that hasn't happened before, but was awesome to see.
So cool.
And we're impressed. This is honestly the first type of event that we've been to of this caliber. We've never been to a Cup. We've never been to a Bassmaster Classic. And by far, these are the two biggest events in bass fishing.
Absolutely.
The Forest Wood Cup and the Bassmaster Classic. And this, I did not know what to expect.
Yeah.
I didn't know what
so,
to expect.
So, what's
Dude,
your...
Dude, I
awesome.
Love it.
Yeah?
Absolutely
okay.
love it.
Awesome. Good to hear.
I can't wait for the weigh-in.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's going to be fun.
I'm not sure what I've prepared for my speech at the weigh-in yet, but I got a couple things in mind. You know, I mean.
You want to come up and sing the anthem or something?
I do,
could
yes.
probably pull some strings.
Yes, and, me and Jimmy will sing it together.
Yeah, okay, I love it.
How's
love
that?
It.
And Watson.
Yeah, oh, well, I don't know about Watson. You ever heard him sing?
I think we have heard of him.
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah, he did bust something out. He was in a church parking lot, actually.
Yeah,
and
he was.
Interested to
True
see
story.
How he does today.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah,
I haven't heard anything.
No, but we're super stoked for the weigh-in too, man.
Awesome.
So, I mean, so this is kind of how you envisioned it. It's turning out okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So far, so good.
You're amazingly calm, and I know you got a lot on your
it's
plate.
It's not always like that. Today has been pretty smooth. I'd knock on some wood here.
I mean, yesterday, too. I was probably one of the 50 phone calls that you got yesterday.
And it was more than that.
You were still 500 phone calls
you
got.
Yeah, it was around 100, I'm sure. But good.
So
I tried to be
well
calm.
Done.
Yeah.
Well done,
thank
my
you.
Friend.
Thank you. Yeah.
Do you fish?
Not as much as you would think.
Okay.
I do fish. I love bass fishing. But most of the time when I'm at these things, I don't get to go out. I don't get a whole lot of time, so... I get out in central Minnesota, up where I'm from, quite a bit.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Traveling to all these cool places, probably not as much as you think. I have gone to some cool fisheries, you know, and got to go out, like Champlain and Okeechobee. And
sure.
The big ones.
Yeah.
But never been out fishing here on Lake Murray, though, unfortunately. Every time I'm here, it's the cup week, and we're running.
Yeah, I'd love to go fishing here, too.
Yeah.
Let's go fishing.
Yeah, let's just do it. You can get us a ranger, right?
There's some rods over there.
Yeah, we'll find something.
Where's Watson? Where's Watson when we need him?
Who's your favorite FLW fisherman?
All of them.
No, yeah, come on. Tell me, straight up. Who's your favorite?
No, they are all awesome guys.
That's a canned answer. They told you to say that.
Of course, everybody's got, like, their sentimental favorites. I
mean, who's your sentimental?
Everybody loves Larry Nixon, including myself. Everybody loves Jimmy Houston. You know, Brian Thrift, Andy Morgan, all those guys are super to work with. You know, they're the stars of FLW, so those are the guys that I work with on a day-to-day basis. I love them all. There is not a bad angler that I've met yet, ever. I've been in the company for 6 years. There's nobody where I've been like, man, he's a real jerk.
Well, some of them, though, there's no jerks. We know that. They're all cool as can be. But, like, for example, when you said you're a fan of our show, and we love that.
Yeah.
Now, when you see when we do promotions and we're having some of your guys on,
sure,
who do you get nervous about? Who's one that you might? They're on Straight Cast. This is not going to be good.
Basically, pretty much every guy you had on the show last night kept me on my toes. You got Watson, Dudley, JT, Kenny. You know, all these guys are huge personalities, very outspoken. We love them. But I'd be lying if I said I didn't get a little nervous, you know, putting in front of a live mic.
I push them to the edge.
I do trust them. I do trust them.
Yeah, they know.
I trust you, too.
They know.
Yeah.
But I'd say you have to worry the most about JT Kenny.
He's one of them.
He's special.
Absolutely.
Special's a good word.
He's a personality.
Yeah. He's a special personality.
He took over the show.
It was awesome.
JT is awesome. JT. I mean, that's a nice way of saying it.
There's no doubt about
it. Yeah.
Anybody that shows up in a Hawaiian shirt, a fedora, and a belt made out of $100 bills, he is the Kenny Powers of bass fishing. You know that, right?
He's the Kenny
Powers of bass fishing,
absolutely.
That guy. It's amazing. There's no doubt about it. So we got 2 days left after this, and then you're done with this. You probably got another day or two of work after that.
Absolutely.
Okay? What's going to be your unwind, Joe? What's your unwind? What's your downtime? What are you
going to
do?
Unwind's going to be going home to spend time with my new baby.
With your new baby.
Yeah.
You miss her right now.
I do. I've been getting texts and pictures all the last couple of days since I left, but definitely made leaving for this event much harder than normal. But
it never gets any easier. My daughter's 22, and it still gets
hard. I was talking to Chris Jones about that, and he said, wait till they start grabbing onto your leg and crying as you walk up there. And I went, my gosh, I can't imagine.
Because now she's just like a little sack of of potatoes.
Yeah.
You know?
Puking and peeing and pooping. That's what we do right now. So.
But then once they look at you with them eyes, you know,
it's
all over.
Absolutely. But I'm probably going to get out fishing a couple days, too, once I get back home. And I live about 30 miles south of Mille Lacs Lake, so... You may have heard of that fishery. So, yeah, grew up
there.
So you know Joe Dierte, our friend, Seth Dierte.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Big Seth Fighter
Seth
fan.
Dirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dierte.
Yeah. Everybody in Minnesota loves Seth Fighter.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
Seth Fighter is an animal.
Absolutely.
He is, man.
Are you getting any sleep? Do you sleep at all these things?
I have not here at the Forestwood Cup. You'd think I would come here away from the newborn and get some sleep. But no, actually, my fiance's a rock star. She takes care of all the night stuff, and I feel a little guilty sometimes, but I hand her off and say, you got it, babe.
There it
is. So, I've actually been getting quite a bit of sleep at home, doing all right. But at these things, I get about 3-4 hours a night.
Yeah.
Busy.
Because you're always on the phone.
Putting out
fires.
I mean, we'll be at the weigh-in tonight till probably 8, 9 o'clock, and then, it's up at 4 a.m., so by the time we get dinner and to bed, we get about 4 hours. Yeah. But that's all right.
But, dude, you got an awesome job. Come on.
I do. I'm not trying to downplay it at all. It's Forestwood Cup week. Other than at home with my baby girl, there's no place in the world that I would rather be right now. So
Derek,
this is awesome.
We cannot say anything more after that. Yeah. That's the highlight clip of the week right there.
Absolutely.
Joe, thank you so much, dude. We appreciate everything for having us here. And you do an amazing job. I mean that sincerely.
Thank you. I'm very blessed. I couldn't appreciate you guys coming more. I'm happy you're here. And let's do it again next year.
Yeah, well, and let's and why don't you come check in later on in the week? We're going to be doing the week, in the next couple days.
Yeah.
I'm losing my mind already.
Yeah, we can
recap.
Sunday,
we'll be able to talk a lot more about the tournament, what's actually going on.
Yeah, let's give me some inside skinny dirt. I need you to find that.
I'll do my best.
All right. That's Joe Opager. He's from FLW Outdoors. I'm Pat Renwick. This is Ryan Popcorn Whitaker. Put the power poles down. I think we got Forest Wood coming up next. We'll be back in a moment.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Dance.
No, just kidding. This is Pat.
If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Stray Cast on iTunes and leave a review. Tell us what you think. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. Thanks for listening.
Peace!